Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your humble host, Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. This show originates and is being broadcasted live from the bunker in Warsaw, Indiana. Right next door is Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern. It's a friendly little tavern where friends meet to drink and sometimes eat. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase tanks, half tracks, or any other weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar. If you like, Tommy invites you to visit his big website, resist.com, and spend some time up there and look around. You can read news and views, listen to archive radio shows, listings of items to buy, information on where to send you donations, and just a lot of good useful information. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy another show from the Insurgent Radio Network.
The bunker again, just like we told you would be. This is Freya's Day, Ladies' Day in the bunker. All the lady lone wolf ladies, how about that? I haven't seen one around here yet this morning. Well, let's see what we can dig up today. I already did about 2 hours of shows. I was the guest of one of the fellows in Poland, one of the fellows in Britain, and one of the fellows here in the United States. Well, I guess there was a couple of them. We had quite a show, and I'll probably play it for you tomorrow. For some reason, I screwed up and my recorder didn't get it, but they're going to send me one. So, anyhow, I thought, well, maybe I'll try to patch together a show yet today before I go to sleep. Yeah, well, let's just start off right away with a song for the ladies here. Right, this is I haven't played many of these for you, but they're pretty songs.
I'm
lovely Barbara Hendricks singing for you. How about that? Here's another little piece of dirty laundry from the right wing. Yep, I knew all about this, or knew about it later, but I hadn't said too much about it, but now I guess the news is broke with it. Glenn Miller, the former North Carolina KKK leader who ran for governor in the 80s, made national headlines last week when he was charged with killing three people in a shooting spree rampage outside two Jewish facilities in Kansas. The ABC 11 I team has traced Miller's path from North Carolina to Kansas. We learned he was given a new Social Security number and a new name of Fraser Glenn Cross in the 1990s when he entered the federal witness protection program. And the reason he wanted to be in there, he was scared stiff that the order of people like that would wipe him out, or if they could get to him, or anybody. And as the ABC 11 I team started digging into Miller's time in the Raleigh area, we made a rather startling discovery that in the 80s, the avowed white racist, anti-Jew, and anti-homosexual was caught by police in an unlikely compromising situation with a black prostitute who was really a man. Yep, you got it. Raleigh police caught him in the back seat of a car engaging in a sex act with a prostitute who was a black man dressed as a woman. Former federal prosecutor Doug McCullough, who's now a judge on the North Carolina Court of Appeals after spending 17 years as a federal prosecutor, investigated Miller back in the 80s. In 1987, McCullough sat at a table with Miller as he agreed to flip and become a government informant. Miller agreed to plead guilty to possessing hand grenades and sending through the mail what he called a declaration of war on minorities, homosexuals, and others. McCullough told ABC 11 he read the Raleigh police report about the incident with the prostitute. It was pretty shocking, said McCullough, because of his personal stances that he had taken and what he was now accused of being engaging in. The facts speak for themselves, and the people can draw their own conclusions about how incongruous something like that is, he offered. Miller did not face charges in connection with the incident. McCullough explained that's likely because the government was pursuing a much bigger case against him. And our lone wolf commentator says, "What else can you say? Be gone, right wing. Be gone." That's for damn sure. And that's not the only one either. Yeah, there's an... I put this out years ago once I found out about it. And then I didn't put it out anymore. And I'd almost forgotten about it. But there's supposedly a police report up in the area of New England someplace that showed had to do with a recently very well thought of, highly thought of right-wing leader was caught in a car with homosexuals too. I've never seen that police report. Maybe it don't exist, but I'm not going to say the name because you'd be shocked out of your mind. So anyhow, sometimes the right wing breeds some very strange people. At least the left wing progressives admit it. The right wing will do some crazy, really, really bad thing and then deny it. Actually, Rick Cooper was involved in tracking down all this nasty stuff that's taking place in the right wing. It was his special deal. He went all over the country checking it out. And the homosexual content of the right wing, all that stuff, Rick Cooper dug it out. He's not with us anymore. He passed away. But the incident that took place in New England, I guess we'll just let it lie because I haven't seen any actual incident report by the cops from back then. And I don't think Cooper was ever able to absolutely establish it as the truth. But for a political racial struggle that says so much about not liking homosexuals and hating homosexuals, the right wing's been full of them for years. They're all over the place. I know who most of them are. There's bisexuals and everything else. Sorry, boys, that's just the truth. I myself am not looking under every bed for homosexuals, but there are the people. I find the people that scream the most and salivate the most about homosexuals are the ones you got to watch, because many times they are. A healthy heterosexual doesn't usually have these nightmares and night dreams about homosexuals. A well-adjusted heterosexual, it doesn't bother him. Well, let's check in and see how our precious environment is doing. The ecology. Yeah.
You do have the stomach for the truth. Thanks, Sheila. Coal ash. After the massive coal ash spill in North Carolina. Remember we told you about that? Last month, Duke Energy in Eden, North Carolina, discovered that coal ash sludge, well, you tried saying it, was leaking out of a storage pond into the right now where the bottom of the Dan River for 70 miles is covered in this filth. Well, North Carolina has decided to cut 13% of the funds for the agency responsible for protecting water resources, even as North Carolina delivers one of the nation's largest coal ash spills. And it continues to devastate rivers in the state. This is what Republicans...
Well, I screwed up there, and I'm going to have to pick it up wherever I think it might have been, because I was asleep at the switch here. Too many hours at the console here. Let's pick it up here. I may not be quite the right spot, but hopefully it'll be fairly close.
You do have the stomach for the truth. Thanks, Sheila. Coal ash. After the massive coal ash spill in North Carolina. Remember we told you about that? Last month, Duke Energy in Eden, North Carolina, discovered that coal ash sludge, well, you tried saying it, was leaking out of a storage pond into the Dan River. And it's the point now where the bottom of the Dan River for 70 miles is covered in this filth. Well, North Carolina has decided to cut 13% of the funds for the agency responsible for protecting water resources, even as North Carolina delivers one of the nation's largest coal ash spills. And it continues to devastate rivers in the state. This is what Republicans do. I just want you to fully and completely understand and accept that this is what Republicans do. They can get together for their circle jerks in Washington, D.C., like they did last week, and talk about, oh, well, Obama this, or the liberals that, or the Democrats that. These are demonic people. These are people who are just crazy to begin with. But this is what they do. The governor, Pat McCrory of North Carolina, is a former Duke Energy executive. I think he was a former CEO. Then he was the mayor. They got him elected mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, and then they got him elected governor. And the North Carolina legislature is all Republican. So a massive, filthy, polluting, stinking coal ash spill. And how does the government of North Carolina respond? They decide to cut 13% of the funding of the agency responsible for protecting water resources. You let these Republicans continue to do this, and they are going to absolutely, utterly destroy not just this country, but the whole planet. These are people who make the fascists look almost like people you'd want to have as your next door neighbor. Now, to show you how a massive energy company like Duke turns around and stabs its customers in the back. This is where capitalism for the profit, socialism for the cleanup. Here's another example. Duke Energy Chief Executive Lynn Good Friday warned that customers would be forced to bear the costs if the state of North Carolina ordered the company to remove the coal ash pits. See? Now, do you know what television station that is in North Carolina, Kathy?
Channel 9.
Channel 9. I think it's in Charlotte. We're going to play you a bit of video and audio here from one of the news shows in that state. Go ahead and run it, Kathy.
Responding to criticism that he isn't doing enough to protect the environment. The comments come in the wake of Duke Energy's recent coal ash spill.
Eyewitness News reporter Greg Susskind explains the governor's comments seem to focus on the pitfalls of the previous administration.
Governor Pat McCrory was in town for an economic announcement, but afterwards he addressed our questions about whether he's done enough to protect the environment. He said this.
Our deaner under our administration has been the most aggressive action in North Carolina history.
I'd love to know what that enforcement was.
That reaction from Catawba Riverkeeper Sam Perkins, who says McCrory and Purdue's administrations fell short in protecting the environment. Last month, the Duke Energy power plant accidentally dumped 39,000 tons of coal ash waste into the Dan River, which coated the river bottom for 70 miles. Duke says the water quality there is now back to the way it was before the spill. But environmentalists want all of Duke's ponds that store coal ash moved away from water sources.
It's common sense. It's very simple.
Just yesterday, a Wake County judge seemed to agree, ordering immediate action. But he didn't specify what that meant. Cost to move coal ash ponds would run into the hundreds of millions of dollars. Environmentalists say there's no other way that's acceptable.
We'll see how much longer they want to drag this out, but you know, we clearly have the legal system on our side.
McCrory says he's confident Diener and Duke will come up with a long-term solution. He rejected allegations that his administration is lax in enforcement.
I think there has been some lax issues within the state, and it was occurring prior to my administration.
In Charlotte, Greg Susskind, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
It was occurring prior to his stinking Republican administration. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, or DENR, had estimated that 13% of the staff positions from the Division of Water Resources had been eliminated just weeks after this coal spill was discovered. But I like the part where this former Duke executive, now Governor Pat McCrory, says that I'm an environmentalist. I'm an environmentalist. Yeah, I believe in the environment. Yeah. Duke Chief Financial Officer Steve Young told shareholders on a recent conference call after this occurred, quote, "We currently estimate we will spend between $4.5 and $5.5 billion over the next 10 years. Approximately 85% of our expected environmental compliance investments will be in the Carolinas and Indiana. Both of these jurisdictions have a strong track record of allowing utilities to recover costs related to environmental compliance investments." Recover costs. That's another way of saying that the consumer, the person who flips on the light switch or turns on the power, is going to pay for it, not Duke. Why should they? Why should an energy company that just busts its ass to provide you and me with all these wonderful conveniences like heat and hot water and so on and so forth, air conditioning. Why should they be forced to clean up the toxic messes, the cancer-causing filth that they dump wherever they operate? I don't care where they operate. And I don't care what sort of power generating system they use. Coal, oil, nukes, natural gas, every single one of those generating systems is ultimately poisonous and destructive. Now, in the meantime, of course, we have this huge thermonuclear reactor. Granted, it's 93 million miles away from here, but there it is, and you can see it, or the results of it, every single day. Never mind. They haven't figured out a way yet to meter the sun. But, of course, that's not what would be required. Metering the sun, sunlight, is not required. These companies can still make a profit. Just get rid of the poisonous methods by which you produce energy and devote your research and development to capturing all that energy that saturates this planet every single day, more than we could use in a thousand years, every single day. Pat McCrory, another example in an endless procession of examples of what the Republican Party does when it comes into power. It destroys, it pollutes, it kills, it ruptures.
And
is there anything
good the Democrats
that the Republican Party does? I asked that question the same way a lawyer asks a question during a trial. Don't ever ask a question that you don't already know the answer to. And the answer to that is hell no.
Forget Mr. Progressive. The Democrat Party's right into it up to their necks, too. Oh, and don't forget, Duke Energy is the one that just announced that they were not going to pay the retirees, the retired miners, they weren't going to pay for their health insurance anymore. In other words, the miner works 20, 30 years in the mines, now he's got no health insurance. And I guess he'll have to go begging to the government to get it. Now, do you think that your race can survive in a massive polluted country or world? Do you ever notice that the right wing never pushes that? At least, I don't know any other groups that push the environmental problem and solutions to the environmental problem, because they say the people on the other side, they're all communists. Well, that's just one story this week. I've got dozens of those kind of stories of polluting the country and polluting the environment from around the country. Let's go up and see how my good buddy old Kaiser is doing, Max Kaiser. He'll tell you how polluted the economic system is. Oh, yes. You know, one of the biggest rip-off companies in the country is Boeing Aircraft. And they've sold the government to the United States and out of your pocket. I don't know how many of these F-35 fighters, supposed to be stealth. They're not stealth after all. Typical Boeing robbing the people of the United States like they did on war contracts during World War II, even back to World War I. And I've got quite a documentary on that I play once in a while on the radio.
This is the Kaiser Report. I'm Max Kaiser. Get an education, young people. For as Teddy Roosevelt once said, a man who has never gone to school may steal from a freight car, but if he has a university education, he may steal the whole railroad. Yes, in a gilded and corrupt age such as Teddy knew, and as we know today, one needs to get the right education in order to steal the right things. Right, Stacy?
Well, certainly in America, you go to those sort of skull and crossbones sort of groups, you get connected at university, and you get the good jobs. But they do tell you you have to go to university to get a good job, and that's been the American dream. That's how immigrants arrive in America. They send their kids to university, and they get a good job. Well, graduate starting salaries tumble. University leavers have seen their starting salaries plummet over the past 5 years. New figures show research by the Complete University Guide says graduate starting salaries in professional posts fell by 11% in real terms, from £24,293 to £21,702 between 2007 and 2012.
Well, you know, this speaks to a very interesting conundrum in this economy in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world. The numbers you just quoted would point to deflation, that prices are shrinking. And this is what the central banks often say is the reason why they keep interest rates low. However, the interest rate lowering that the central banks are involved in does not stop deflation. It actually creates deflation. Because where does that money go? It goes to keep zombie banks alive. And in so doing, it creates monopoly pricing on things like education, where they have no competition whatsoever because of the endowments are owned and they're co-owned and they're mutually owned, and they're able to lobby the government to jack up the loan participation by institutions like Sallie Mae, and they act like oligopolists due to the low interest rates that's causing the deflation. Meanwhile, for the average student, the price is out of reach. The groceries, energy, they're out of reach. Their real day-to-day experience is one of very high inflation, but unfortunately the government and the people who set interest rates don't look at those prices. They're myopic on purpose to keep curry with the zombie banks and all the other elements of the kleptocratic class.
And of course there's been an inflation in the number of students as well. So if everybody has a degree, you know, it's becoming worth less and less. And the quality of the education is also going down increasingly as well.
The amount of people entering into the university system is widening as the population widens. However, the debts associated with those institutions of learning are increasing exponentially. So students end up graduating with more debt than they ever have in the history of the United States. I went to New York University in the 70s and early 80s, and I had no debt when I left the university. And that was the common experience. You don't leave university with debt. That's not on. Now you're leaving with an enormous amount of debt. Not only does it offer a way to introduce an onerous, economically depraved environment for the graduating class, but you also have the tendency to pay off the debt by going into industries like the military industrial complex, Wall Street jobs, become a Wall Street financial engineer, all the jobs that we don't need more people going down to Wall Street to figure out how to algorithmically high frequency fraud trade in Chicago or New York, but that's the only place they can go to pay off the debt that was put on there by this artificial deflation caused by keeping interest rates low to keep the zombie banks alive.
In fact, they do point out that the starting salaries for doctors is down 15%. The starting salary for lawyers is down 17%. And then they go on to say, while financial returns should not be the only consideration, they are becoming more important, whether we like it or not. However, with a volatile labor market, it is difficult to predict the future for any particular subject. So they're saying that because of the huge debts, and in the U.S., it's an average of $26,000 they're graduating with debt. Here, this class entering in 2012, they're going to graduate with £60,000 in debt, which is like $80,000, $90,000.
In the U.S., nobody goes to school hoping to be, or nobody grows up wishing to be a drone operator.
No.
You know, somewhere in Florida or Nevada operating drones remotely in Pakistan and places of the world where it rains terror down on innocent people, again, to service the zombie banks. Nobody has that dream when they're a child. I'm going to grow up to be a drone operator and commit mass slaughter and get my face on some WikiLeaks video. No. But if you graduate with $26,000 in debt or $60,000 in debt, and the only job available for you to pay off your debt is as a drone operator. The government's happy because they get a drone operator. You're paying off your debt, which is helping the zombie banks keep afloat, and everyone is happy, except, of course, the people that you're murdering down on the ground, who are only crime was that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time as you try to pay off your student debt by killing them for Lockheed Martin Marietta or some other defense contracting terrorist.
Now, of course, you think you're doing the right thing by incurring all these debts to get an education, to get a better degree. And another headline along these lines of thinking you're doing the right thing, the prudent thing, Puerto Rico bond crisis leaves boxing champ Trinidad ruined. Boxer Felix Tito Trinidad, who grossed nearly $90 million during his championship career in the ring, is in economic ruin, just like his native Puerto Rico, according to court documents. So he didn't go bust like Mike Tyson did, blowing it on champagne and Rolls Royces and cars and houses for various women and stuff and friends. He lost $63 million of it on Puerto Rican bonds.
A bond market, or municipal bond markets, or state bonds, municipal bonds, these are bonds that are considered to be AA rated. They're considered to be the rock-solid foundation of a portfolio. He wasn't extravagantly blowing his money on bling or taking flyers on NASDAQ. He was buying bonds, municipal bonds, and he got wiped out anyway. This speaks to a wider trend in the global economy, is that there are no more AAA credits, or there are very few AAA credits, and they're shrinking every year. The new, you know, single A is the new AAA, which is the common refrain. But what this means is that the banking system that's built on a fractional reserve model on top of what are supposed to be AAA rated credits is becoming less and less stable, so that junk bonds are now considered the A-rated, and there is no AAA anymore, really. And as you go forward, the foundations of the global Ponzi scheme sitting on collateral that's not even got a AAA rating anymore begins to tumble. And this gentleman, this boxer, this Puerto Rican boxer, is a casualty of the global trend away from AAA credit toward a miasma of junk and cheese.
His name is Trinidad. He had 16 knockouts in the welterweight, light, middleweight, and middleweight classes. Now, he lost this $63 million because the Puerto Rican economy is $101 billion GDP, and they have $70 billion in debt. Now, part of that reason is because of quantitative easing in the United States, driving interest rates down to 0%. Municipalities, pension funds, all these sort of funds in America with long-term, you know, obligations, they were investing in Puerto Rico because of how it's favored for tax reasons in the United States, plus their interest rates were higher. So they were pushing lots of debt. There was like oversubscribed debt bond issuance down there. Everybody was trying to get in and pushing more and more debt onto Puerto Rico because of the tax favorability for it.
Yeah. Now, when I was working on Wall Street as a stockbroker in the 80s, I sold plenty of Puerto Rico bonds. Municipal debt, AA rated debt. You get a tax benefit. I think it's state, local, and federal, or just state and local. You get a 2 or 3, tax breaks on that debt, so your income adjusted return is 2 or 3% higher than what you get in a riskless certificate of deposit. You know, it's a very easy sale for the average punter out in Long Island, the dentist or doctor looking to augment their income with some tax-free Puerto Rican AA, 7-year notes. You know, I mean, this is a standard Wall Street sale. And so apparently they sold so many bonds that they just capsized the entire economy under a debt.
His own advisor was at UBS and Wells Fargo during this time, and he is trying to sue him now. This is why the court documents came out. He's suing him for putting him into risky debts. He wanted to be in riskless debts. So it was all put into Puerto Rico bonds.
Well, it's a classically a fairly risk-averse investment. And the only thing you can get that's even, but the point is this, even if he wanted the AAA foreign debt of a country that still might have a AAA, like Finland or something, you still have the problem of the central banks of the world, like the U.S., Bank of England, and now the ECB, of going on mad quantitative easing sprees, which are really going to be to throw the kibosh on bond prices. Bonds are in the biggest bubble in history. 300-year bubble, 300-year high in bonds just in the U.K. That's the last time bonds were this high in the U.K. It was 300 years ago.
Well, that guy's not too big to fail, so he won't be bailed out. Another group of people trying to do something right and being prevented by the corporatocracy is U.S. court reverses Massachusetts' ban on Zogenix pain drug. A U.S. district court judge on Tuesday stopped Massachusetts from implementing a ban on the sale of Zogenix prescription painkiller Zohydro. saying federal law superseded the state's actions. The company shares climbed about 9% in after-hours trading. So Massachusetts Governor Patrick Duvall had issued an emergency ban on this new drug. It's an opiate. It's like heroin. It's five times stronger than Vicodin. And he's saying we're having there's a state of emergency. We're having so many opiate-related deaths in the state. And yet the judge is saying because the FDA approved this drug, you have to allow doctors to prescribe it. The FDA approved it last autumn. It's just gone into sale at the end of March.
It's a velvet pharmaceutical genocide. It's a velvet pharmaceutical genocide perpetrated by the corporocracy. They know that this new drug is going to kill many, many people, but they know the profits are irresistible, so they're going to let it get through.
Well, we don't know how it happened because they even mentioned that Zyhodro in extended release form of hydrocodone has come under scrutiny from members of the U.S. Congress, state attorneys general, medical groups, and drug treatment experts seeking to block its use. And the FDA's own scientists, 11 against 2 of them, voted against approving this drug, and yet somehow the FDA still approved it. It could be that revolving door that happens between these regulators and those they're regulating, and hopefully they think they're going to get a job. This company, they only sell this one drug. This is their drug.
This is like the My Lai massacre from Vietnam, where the U.S. soldiers basically killed each other over drug trials, LSD, psychotropics. So here you have pharmaceutical companies. They've burnt through millions all overseas testing their heroin products. Now they're just killing Americans. So it's a My Lai massacre 2014. And where's the youth? Oh, they can't revolt because they're too much in debt. Did you ever think maybe that was the reason you're in debt? Youth of the world? Hello?
Well, all the pain of their debt.
Anybody home?
All the pain of their debt could be done away with this new powerful drug. It's much more powerful than Zycodone or Vicodin.
Yeah, that Jamaican cents a million, not going to cut it no more. All right, Stacey, we've got to go. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Well, let's see now here. We covered how the environment's totally under attack by the predatory capitalists. And we talked about the students, anybody that's wanting to get an education. In England, it's the latest class starting out, it's going to be £60,000, about $90,000 to get an education. To what? What job are they going to get? Like he says, maybe flying, operating drones to bomb people around the world. So there we got that. And then we've got the drug corruption and all that. Do we hear that much talk about that on the right? Do you know of any right-wing racial outlet that's talking about this? I don't. So now they just want to drug you up and you just pretend that nothing's happening. And nobody will be able to rise up and throw it off, you know, even if they wanted to. Incidentally, I mentioned Boeing as being the crook, but they've been crooked too. But it's Lockheed that's really, really the bad one. They have taken taxpayers for billions and billions and billions of dollars, and also they... through Homeland Security, they're controlling all the police state electronics to keep track of you. Oh, here's another story about the environment, if you haven't heard about it. This giant iceberg that's as big as Manhattan Island that's broke loose in the southern oceans, dubbed B-31. The iceberg could pose some significant problems for ships if it continues to melt or break apart in the South Ocean. At 255 square miles, 660 square kilometers, and 500 meters thick, B-31 is one of the biggest icebergs on the planet and currently six times the size of Manhattan. Although the process of icebergs breaking off from glaciers is typical, iceberg calving, as it's known, typically occurs at the Pine Island Glacier every 6 to 10 years. But NASA's Earth Observatory is attempting to keep a special eye on B-31. Unbelievable. Currently, B-31 is not in the way of any Antarctic shipping lanes, but Brunt said its current trajectory means that where the iceberg is headed. is floating off into the sea and will get caught in the currents and flow around the Antarctica continent where there are ships, she said, according to the Guardian newspaper. NASA has been monitoring the Pine Island Glacier since 2011, when it first observed a crack that eventually got larger and resulted in B-31 breaking off into the ocean. The massive glacier has been highlighted by scientists over the last 20 years due to the fact that, as NASA put it, quote, it has been thinning and draining rapidly and may be one of the largest contributors to sea level rise. If you're on the coast, you better start thinking about maybe getting a little inland. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. Well, while we've got giant icebergs the size of Manhattan floating around, and we're destroying everything around in the environment, and we're getting people hopped up on over-the-counter drugs that are more powerful than heroin, and we're charging young people tremendous amounts of debt to go to university, well, let's see what the Bundy situation is. We've got, this may be a little bit distorted because I did it on a tape recorder in the middle of the night, but it seems that Mr. Bundy has declared himself to be a white supremacist, and the progressives are going absolutely crazy, and the conservatives are running for the hills. These right-wing conservative chicken shit bastards, the minute Bundy came out and said that, told the truth about the black people that he's observed in Las Vegas, all hell broke loose. That's why the right-wing conservatives, they can't win in the end. They'll never win in the end. And the progressives like a little dog, keep chasing them around and biting at their heels. Let's listen to this.
We're just emerging. People were talking about them. But audio, well, first reaction among many conservatives, some immediately denounced him, and rightfully so. And then some conservatives said, hey, it's the New York Times, you can't trust him. He didn't make those comments. Oops. Let's play, just so we are all on the same page, what Clive and Bundy said. B1, please.
I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negroes. When I go to Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the oldest people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for the young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy?
To transfer.
Yeah, they didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom. They had less family alive, and their happiness. You can see in their faces they weren't happy sitting on that concrete sidewalk. Down there they were probably growing their turnips. So that's all government. That's not freedom.
But let me tell you something. When I say...
explosion of another right-wing hero. It just, the bubble popping. And if you'll notice, this happens over and over and over again. The right wing pick out a hero, choose him, elevate them, and then watch them implode. Clive and Bundy, look, is a racist. There's no... when you make a comment like that, there's no doubt. And this is one of those things where You had callers earlier in the week saying, you're going to call him a racist, if he... Well, I didn't earlier in the week. You had a feeling about it. Then he proved it true. So, yeah. Clive and Bundy, racist. But it's in fact kind of expected at this point.
Now, immediately when that came out, these right-wing, conservative, cowardly, bastard Christians ran down a hole instead of saying, yeah, well, I've seen the same thing. There's nothing he said that's so out of line that in an agricultural situation, the black race would have been better off instead of the slavery they're in now. But the point is that and the progressive left, it's so easy for them to scatter the right-wing, conservative right-wingers like a bunch of chickens. All they have to do, oh, he's a racist. Oh, my God, I want out of here. I don't want to support him. I won't support him. Rand Paul and all of them, they're not going to support him because this old man just told things the way he saw them to be. And so you can't speak the truth as you see it and just have people disagree with you. They have to destroy you. And when this little twerp I just played says that the right wing build these people up and then they just implode. Well, they implode because you on the progressive left, you say, well, he's a racist. They've got everybody keyed to go down a rabbit hole when you say racist, a white racist. Almost as bad as when you say a neo-Nazi. So a white supremacist, a racist, or anything like that. And it's not that it can't be turned around, thwarted. I mean, these progressive left, they don't have any bigger balls than anybody else. In fact, they don't have as big a balls. And they can be neutralized easily. Just stand up to them and say, yes, God damn it, I'm for the white race. And the black race should be for the black race, and that's the way it is. And I'm going to say what I think. I'm going to say it 24 hours a day. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my white ass and then watch these progressives leave the field of battle. I've seen them. I've been attacked by them in the streets. And once they see power, in that case, physical power, once you show them power, they fold. Believe me, they fold. I mean, I've taken on as many as 200 of these creeps, and we only had 35, and we kicked their ass all over the place. But these right-wing, conservative, goody-two-shoe Christian bastards, they're not going to fight. They're going to say, oh, he's a constitutionalist, oh, he's a good guy, until he says, I'm for the white race, and then, oh, we can't have that.
Because every time you turn up a rock like that, every time you're at one of those things and you turn up the rock, all the little racist bugs go scurrying. And it happens every time to the right. Look at who.
And that's true. This left winger, he's telling the truth. Every time you bring up the name racist or anything like that, they all scurry like a bunch of cockroaches. They don't deserve to live. If they're that easily stampeded, they don't deserve to live. I'm ashamed of most of the white race. I think a whole lot of the white race would be better off not to be on this earth. I do believe that. I see they're a detriment. We need a different kind of white person, a different kind of white man. Not that we're going around with a baseball bat beating up everybody on the sidewalk, but I mean getting serious about the people who are really behind the scenes, the big boys. The big boys. They should be shaking in their boots. These congressmen and senators should be in fear of going from Washington back into their district. They should be in bulletproof cars and have all kinds of federal SWAT team accompanying them. But they're not afraid. They go back and bullshit the people, and the people eat it up. They put a little sugar on that teaspoon of shit, and they swallow it right down.
Their heroes have been. Look at how they've blown up. You know, I'll give you an example. Take Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff Joe in Arizona. He's fighting the illegals. I only say that in his voice. I would never use that term in my own. But that's Sheriff Joe fighting them. And then it turns out A-15, Tony.
I would like the Congress to have hearings, maybe a special prosecutor, not only for this issue, but an issue how easy it is to get a birth certificate in Hawaii. We are not accusing the president.
Well, here's Arpaio. He's talking about Obama's birth certificate yet. I mean, geez, give me a break. Give me a break. Well, let's go on. We don't have too many minutes left in this show. I'm going to go on to the conservative. Now, what do the right-wing conservatives say? You heard what the progressive, so-called progressive or regressive say in the left wing. And a lot of it's true. The right-wing conservatives are cowards. Well, they've got some people who'll grab a gun like a crazy person and run out in the desert out there and hide behind a rock. They're going to shoot somebody and resist the government troops. They got some of those, but I mean as far as serious people who are going to be able to change things, as Obama says, change things. I want to change things. I hope there's a lot more people out there who want to really change things. Okay, here's the right-wing conservative. And actually, this is one of the better ones. This is one of the better ones who stands up pretty good for states' rights and for the race quite a bit.
Else with the land, and then do this in defiance of the people of sovereign states that the land rests inside of. Okay, that's all fine, provided you have the power to do so. So should we explore this and at least determine whether or not they have the authority? That's how I have pursued the Clive and Bundy story. It's never been about ranchers. Yeah, he's an agrarian, and yes, I do admire agrarians, and as I said several times, he and those other men and women that ranch and work that land, they are agrarians, just as our forefathers were. And so there is something laudable about that. But it's never been about Mr. Bundy. Mr. Bundy just happens to be the one that's at the center of the firestorm. Now, I cannot say the same thing for most other people that I have read. And last night, after I made my opinion clear, I was regaled with the opinions of many others that I was not aware of. So it's not, since they're not on this show and they can't defend themselves, I'm not going to talk about them. You probably know who some of them are. Take that up with them. I'm just going to restate and reiterate here that this has always been for me and continues to be a quest and a search for truth. Where does the BLM get the authority to do what it's doing? Where does the Department of Interior, who is giving the BLM marching orders, get the authority to do what they're doing? Where did Congress get the authority to tell the Department of the Interior to tell the BLM to do what they are currently doing? It's as simple as that. So, where does it come from? What power are they exercising? Well, as you will learn, they're not exercising a power. The power does not exist. The power has been fabricated just like every other power that they've made up. And through a series of legislative fits and starts, court rulings, and other machinations, we find ourselves in the situation that we're in today. Doesn't mean that it's constitutional, and it doesn't mean that it has any that it is in keeping with the spirit of why there was a constitution, why we're not living under a heavily amended Articles of Confederation. These are important questions. You know what's amazing to me is why aren't more people concerned about the importance of these questions? Because the exact same circumstances can be used and have been used, as many of you have detailed, to come into your state, even if there is no federal land, and the feds will claim that, well, that's basically federal land because there's water on it. So we have water rights, as the EPA is wont to do. So I check my my phone, and I get this message that, well, Mike, this would have been a good essay. However, now that the big Bundy is a slave-owning racist story is out, I don't know. You may want to reconsider how you're presenting this here. You know, you may not want to be associated with Mr. Bundy anymore. Something to that effect. He didn't actually say that, but I'm not going to read you the letter, but that was the intent, or that was the gist of it. And so I hadn't seen this. I had no knowledge of what he was talking about. I hadn't been on Facebook. I had not been immersed in social media. I'd actually been working, pouring through historical documents and what have you to write the story that I just was told may not be what I want to submit this week. So I dashed back here, could not wait to get here, because I had to learn about this. And so when I fired up the old IMAX here and began seeing all the vitriol that had been posted about this, I must say that I was shocked. And I wasn't shocked about what libs had posted about it, because I totally expect that from them. What I was shocked about was the Superman-like light speed that alleged conservatives and nearly all Republicans had used to dash to the social media ramparts and bleed out their denunciations of Mr. Bundy. Again, not a solitary word about whether or not there are any legal issues here that affect us all. Not a peep about whether or not the BLM, DOI, and the Congress are carrying out any sort of a constitutional power. Not a bleep about whether or not the state of Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Texas, Montana, Wyoming, all those lands that are west of, let's just use the Rocky Mountains as a very rough dividing line here, not a solitary peep about it. They said, I was always suspicious. Then, of course, there were those dancing around the sombrero hat going like, I told you so. I told you. You shouldn't associate with those kind of people. I told you they were fanatics. I told you they were kooks. I told you they were no good. Nya-nya-nya-boo-boo. Again, no substance, no seriousness, no one treating this with the attention that the matter deserves. Nothing. And it's depressing. I have to tell you, there are days, and this is one of them, when I actually contemplate whether or not I'm just going to call Eric up and say, you know what, dude, I'm sick. I'm going to play NYPD today. I've got the blue flu. I'm not coming in. But I soldier on here because someone has to say that the truth and the Constitution, let's just call it the damned.
Well, Bush told you about the Constitution. It's just a piece of paper, and it is. Unless people are willing to bleed, no paper means anything. Now, there you've got it. The left-wing cowardice, and they get away with attacking the right-wing conservatives because the right-wing conservatives are so chicken shit. And you have this spokesman is trying to do a better job, that's for sure, and at least not backing down from Bundy's situation. But he sees the cowardice in the right wing. He sees it on both sides. They're all a bunch of cowards. I hope that gets through to you. You know, if we get much of a force together someday and get a few retired military people and guys that are pissed off coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. 1% could take this thing. 1% of the right kind of people. But don't get excited. I'm not telling you to go out and do something crazy. But that's it for today. 14:05. And shut up and watch and listen to all sides. And then put together a battle plan. And then put it on the shelf for a while. You may have to change it a few times before it's needed. But it's a zoo out there, boys and girls. You ever see the movie Mad, Mad World? You should watch it once in a while. That and Dr. Strangelove, or How I Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. You need a little break. Watch those two movies for Tommy, and you'll laugh your ass off. Because life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't take it serious. It's too delirious. You got to have a sense of humor. Every successful revolutionary has a sense of humor. If you don't, you'll break in the wind. You can't make it. Bye-bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Dean 5.